This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, all part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. My co-host is missing in action again this week. He's out enjoying life a little bit, which we should all get out and do here and there. Nothing wrong with that, that's for sure. But I do appreciate you joining me this morning. As we're here to discuss anything automotive related, you can give us a call, 1-888-344-1170, as the opening says. 1-888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, I'm happy to talk to you about. Today, we're going to be talking about a couple things. One is has to do with that pesky check engine light or malfunction indicator light or mill light or whatever you want to call it, check engine light on your dash and when it comes on and what it means and what are the most common issues along with it coming on. So some really good stuff as far as that goes. And like I said, anything else automotive related you guys want to talk about, we're happy to do so. I'm happy to do so with you this week. Kevin will probably be back next week, and we'll continue on from there as we head through December. It's hard to believe that the year's almost over. I mean, here we are in December already, the 4th of December. We got a few weeks left, and we'll be at the end of the year and off into 2022, which is quite amazing. It's been an interesting couple of years. In the car business, we've been busy, but as far as that goes, as far as repair, I was just talking to a client the other day. We were discussing cars and considering, what to do to repair the car or not to repair the car. Actually, he was talking about his wife's car and that, she was trying to decide. She kind of wanted to get a new car. And we were talking about, well, man, you better look around before you make a decision to do that. They ended up, I can't remember what it was. Her car had a major repair, but they ended up doing the repair on her car because we were discussing after the fact, but he said they did look around and trying to find a car, as far as that goes, to actually purchase for what she wanted, few and far between. It was a long wait. So I said the best bet is if you really want a car, I guess you could order one and then you drive your car and then obviously sell your car, trade your car, and do whatever you're going to do with your car if you're in a position to purchase a new car. But you just don't run down to the lot and grab one right now. Lots are very sparse these days. So just one of the things and where we've been in 2022, as far as things go with cars and items like that, and trying to purchase one, I guess they'll start to eventually catch back up, but it's just weird. You drive through any of the auto parkways and all the car dealers, and there's just very few cars on each lot. It's very interesting. So anyway, let's grab Harry in Fallbrook real quick. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning. I have a 2002 Jetta, and the digital on the dashboard that does the time, where your transmission is, and also the mileage has gone blank.
Okay.
And I was smelling something burning the other day, and after that it went blank.
Okay.
And before that, there was like a problem with the transmission, putting in, like, let's say I put it in neutral, it wouldn't show that on the digital, it would show something else. So it was kind of related to that also. I was just wondering, can you bring all that together in your mind and kind of figure out where the problem might be?
Well, most likely what's happened, there's a circuit board for that's built into the, and that's called the instrument cluster. So what you're saying is the indicator of what gear you're in, that's all blank now. The mileage went blank, and there was a digital clock in there. That's all blank now is what you're saying, it's all in the instrument cluster. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So most likely, number one, they use these little diode lights for like the park neutral drive thing. So when you said the neutral went blank, it probably that little light went out or burned out is what happens. Sometimes the circuit boards in those clusters are repairable. Sometimes we just have to replace the whole cluster. It sounds to me like the smell you got in that something shorted out good inside that circuit board, and therefore it took out those items. Those items could all be powered on the same leg, which they probably are, through that circuit board. So something happened and those three items don't get power to them anymore, but most likely it's inside the cluster there.
Where is it? Where is the cluster?
The cluster is the actual, you're looking at it, the dash, that piece comes out. We call that the cluster that has all the gauges in it, the indicator and all that. That's all one piece. And on the back side of it, if you take it out, it has a circuit board on the back of it. And that's what controls all those items. So it's kind of like a little module or computer, if you want to say. It's not really a computer. Signals come from the computer, but it's an electronic piece. So as far as that goes, and you'll see on the back of it, the circuit board, there's little diodes and chips and all kinds of things that make everything operate.
Okay, now other than that, it runs.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't want to go through the expense, could I just leave it alone?
Yeah. So. It's really, that doesn't make anything operate or drive properly on the vehicle. So, I mean, some things can out of that cluster, but those items there, as long as everything's driving fine, and as long as you know what gear you're in and that manually, I mean, you're fine. You know, you obviously won't, you said you won't have an odometer in that. So, but how many miles are on the car?
About 100,000.
Okay, so yeah, the only problem with that is when you go to sell the car, obviously, and not that this matters to you, but you obviously will have to check. You don't know the actual mileage because it's really difficult to determine the mileage if the odometer's not working.
Well, if that gets repaired, will that bring the mileage back?
Yes, if that one's repaired. Usually, what we do is if we replace one of those. As far as a cluster, we actually send in what the mileage of the vehicle was when we pull it out, and they program the new one. If we replace, the manufacturer programs the new one with the mileage in it so that it starts right where it left off, if that makes sense.
How would you know if you can't read it? How would you know what the mileage is?
Well, so a lot of times you can go in and find it inside there with a factory scanner. We can look at all the data as far as that goes. If you can't, then you take a best guess, or you just start at zero again. But then you also have to check the box, not the actual mileage on the vehicle, because you don't know. So most of the time, we can kind of figure it out. But, you know, if you let it go for quite a bit of time, then it's really, you know, unless there's actually something in there. And a lot of these cars do, inside the PCM, track the mileage, and that where it can be actually found if you have factory software. So a lot of times we can do that, but it just depends on that vehicle and what options are available. There's a lot of, and what year did you say it was again?
2002.
Okay. May not. So it's hard to say, being that of age, may not be able to find it.
Okay. So the cluster that you're talking about is in the dash, mm-hmm. and not in the transmission housing somewhere.
No, sir. It's all part of the instrument cluster there. That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
No problem. Hey, thanks for listening. Have a safe and wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Great. Take care. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. Just like Harry, anything automotive related, I'm happy to talk to you about. 1-888-344-1170. We're going to take our first break here real quick. As you're listening to Auto Talk on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise, 1170 and 96.1. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I appreciate you joining me this morning. 1-888-344-1170. It's 1-888-344-1170. Anything automotive related. And we're here to chat with you for sure. We, as in me. So, but yes. I do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up in the Escondido Auto Park. Over 28 years taking care of folks up there in North County, AAA approved and STAR certified. Along with my East County location, West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon. AAA approved and SMOG certified for over 8 years out there taking care of folks in East County. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, AAA approved and SMOG certified, taking care of folks right there in central San Diego for over 4 years. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road, Eastgate Mall, AAA approved and STAR certified, taking care of folks over there for over 2 years in the Golden Triangle. All of us at West Automotive Group, me, myself, and employees come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio as we all believe in the same philosophy, and that is we never put money ahead of people. What that means to us is that we would never recommend a service or a repair on your vehicle. We wouldn't recommend to our own family members or our own vehicles. Stop in to have your vehicle serviced or repaired and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. The West Automotive Group is proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs on approved credit. Stop in, ask any of our advisors or my managers about this. They can get you set up with a card that you can use. On and on. It's like a credit card for the West Automotive Group, and it just offers 6 months no interest. You can also take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis. If you think you're having a transmission problem, get your vehicle in, have it looked at by us. Let's get it diagnosed properly. Very important. And that way you're not spending money on something that's not needed. As I always tell folks, the best money ever spent in any repair is a proper diagnosis with a qualified technician at a quality facility where you get the right answer. It will save you money in the long run every single time. So let's get your vehicle in, get it diagnosed properly, and go from there. You can also take advantage of our free shuttle rides to or from work or home, all four locations, and low-cost rental vehicles always available through our partners. Jump on westautomotivegroup.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. That, once again, that's westautomotivegroup.com. westautomotivegroup.com, and from there you can also make appointments, see what we're all about, etc. You can also email me anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com, and from westautomotivegroup.com you can go to the Automan TV from there, where I'm the Automan on the CW and Fox 5 News, different times through the week, different news, and check those out. They're posted there, or you can also go to Auto Talk Radio, where we put all our podcasts. If you want to grab our podcast for downloads or what, on the go, you can find them. They're available through, just go to The Answer San Diego 1170 in any of these podcast areas: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeart, Radio.com, TuneIn, all of them. Just go to those, The Answer San Diego 1170, and you can find an Auto Talk Radio podcast from there. All right, folks, we're talking everything automotive, but I'm going to go to Fran first in Vista. Good morning, Fran.
Good morning. I haven't heard you in such a long time since you changed channels. And I finally found out where Garden Talk came online. And now I get to listen to you right afterwards, which is really fun to do. I haven't heard you in such a long time.
I'm glad you found us. You're up in Vista, Fran. Are you listening on 96.1 or are you listening on AM?
AM.
AM, gotcha. Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah.
But good to hear from you. Good to hear from you. And yeah, us and our Garden Talk have moved over here after the whole change up with the 760 thing. So all good. What you got going on with brakes?
Okay. I had a symptom. So when I went into the dealership to have my oil change, I explained to my advisor that I'm always sent to, and I explained the problem I was having, described it to her. And she says, oh, that's the alignment. So she says, we'll have you in another day. So Wednesday I went in and had the alignment done. Well, that didn't take care of the problem. When I drove away, I said I had the same problem. So I again brought it back. And I'm not telling you for a reason because I wanted you to see what you would have thought it would have been. Mm-hmm. So then I brought it back in and she said, and I explained to her the same symptoms. Mm-hmm. And she said, that's the balance. And I said, what do you mean balance? Balancing the tires. I said, okay. So I went to Discount Tires yesterday, and he says, no, it's not the balance, because I gave him the same symptoms. So the symptoms that I was having is that when I'm, well, on surface street, it was minor. But when I was on the highway, you went to put the brake to slow down, and you're going at a fast rate of speed, the whole front end just shook terribly. And myself, I thought it was the brake, but she kept insisting. So I went back to, you know, went after the dealership and went to them yesterday and talked to the manager there. And as soon as I gave him the problem with it shaking like that, he said, no, it's the brakes.
Yeah, it's the front rotors are warped.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, here's the thing that amazes me is that everybody you're talking to is just like diagnosing and putting down. See, what she really should have done is said, you know what? I think this is what it is, but here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have a technician take a look at it. I'm going to write down your symptoms that you're having. I'm going to give those to the technician.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We call that they're doing parking lot diagnosis is what we call that. And and she's not a technician, so she shouldn't. And the symptoms should be given to, you know, the West. You came into us, we'd say, well, it sounds like brakes, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to have the technician diagnose and then put in your exact symptoms. Client states when driving on the freeway, she applies the brakes, the whole front end of the vehicle shakes. We send the technician out to do it, and it's found the first time, and therefore you don't have not keep going to Discount Tire and then get coming back for an alignment and doing this. That sounds like a lot of work, Fran.
Well, it is, and that's why I'm getting very disappointed in the dealership, because when I did the oil change, you're supposed to look at the brakes while they're doing the end. One time I'll have the brakes are good on my little thing on the windshield. And then the next thing, and I haven't done anything to the brakes, it's good. Then the next time it's medium, and it goes back and forth. So they're not really doing, and you would know exactly the description I gave you, but she never passed it on. She just said it was an alignment based on what I said to her. I talked to the manager there, I said, that's not going to wash with me, because brakes are a serious thing, and I don't want to wind up with an accident because it was the brakes and I had an alignment done.
Correct. Yeah. And here's the thing that, you know, to be honest with you, I'd like to say I'm surprised that this happened at the dealership, but I'm not surprised. We get a lot of clients that come over to us just because of these kind of things. In the technician's defense, he probably didn't take the car ever. The people looking at servicing your vehicle, the technician himself, he probably has never got it up on the freeway. And because nobody told him there was a symptom, they didn't even learn. The thing that is concerning that I see a lot of too, and we do, you wouldn't, looking at the brakes visually, you can't see the problem that you're talking about. Not unless there's hot spots on the rotor. That would be the only indication visually. But warpage of the rotor, you can't visually see. It's so small that an eye can't pick it up unless you put a runout gauge or what's called a dial indicator on it. And I'm getting kind of technical here, but there's no reason to do that unless you think there's a problem you want to check for it. So really the biggest downfall there was that the person, your advisor, is not documenting what you're saying. She's not listening, and she's not paying attention to what you're saying, and therefore she's not documenting it properly, and therefore nobody's looking for it. The technician had no idea. You know, he gets a paper, it says the lineman. He's like, oh, okay, well, preventive maintenance lineman, which should be done, you know, yearly. If you drive 15,000 to 20,000 miles a year, you should get alignment done yearly. It extends life here too. So that's probably just his thought. He drove it, made sure when he was done, it drove straight and the steering wheel straight and all that, and gave it back and said, okay, my job's done. So it's unfortunate that, once again, there's a loss of communication there at the service drive.
Yeah. Now, I have another question. Now that they've done the alignment, and I've been riding the car like that with, you know, I'm being very careful on the highway not to go too fast, so I have plenty of time to slow down, you know, holding a steering wheel that is shaking. But now, does that mean that the alignment might have gone off because of the shaking and shimming?
No, usually not. It won't knock. What kind of car are we talking about, Fran? I should have asked.
Equinox, Chevy Equinox.
Chevy Equinox. Okay. No, it shouldn't knock the alignment out. Okay. Depends on how violent. I presume the rotors are just warped. And although it seems like a lot of shaking, I doubt that it's going to knock the alignment out. It's very uncommon. Okay.
Because the manager said that he's going to take it in on Tuesday and make sure that it is done properly this time and that it is the brakes and take care of that. Oh. And he explained to me something similar about, you know, what was the problem area. Everybody knew it except for her, for the advisor. So I am changed to another advisor now, and I think hopefully it'll change something, you know, so.
Yeah, so once again, if you're even if you switch to somebody new, just the one thing you need to watch out, and I always tell clients, you know, we're very big at this at the West, but when you go and just make sure, hey, put down what I'm telling you. I need the technician. These are the symptoms, and they should be putting the symptoms on the repair order so the technician sees them and says, oh, I need to drive this vehicle on the freeway, or I don't understand that, why they, and this is where you end up. To me, it's common sense, but to some people, it's not. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate, and I'm so glad that I know where you're at now on the radio and what time. And right after Garden Talk, boom, I get another good show to listen to. So,
well, thanks for listening, Fran. You have any other questions, you let me know. And let me know how this works out on the breaks here in a week or so.
I will do. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So, really, it's a great question. That we see this, and it happens a lot with folks. And they're just not listening in the service drive. I mean, I don't know why. It is so much easier to fix a car if you had listened to the client and what they're trying to tell you. And we ask a lot of questions. So if she came in and said, hey, let's say Fran came in to us and said to us, the vehicle, the front of it vibrates, or I'm feeling a vibration. When? Well, on the freeway usually. Okay, that's great. Just driving down the freeway. No, when I apply the brakes. Those simple things put on a repair order make it so easy for a technician to go out and duplicate the concern, and the tech would be like, oh, rotors are probably warped, bring it back, put it in the shop, put a round eye gauge on them. Okay, the rotors are warped this much. It's out of spec. It's too much. That's what's causing a vibration. We need to do front brakes on the vehicle. So, or rear brakes, but it's more common to have the front brakes as far as that get warped. So, and it can happen on any vehicle. And if somebody was paying attention, poor Fran wouldn't have had to got an alignment, wouldn't have had to go get the balance checked on her car, wouldn't have had to, you know. So make a prime example. I was working in El Cajon yesterday, covering for Sherman. He works there in the office, and he's going to one of our schools. My guys are all, even customer service guys are always getting trained along with the technicians. We're at the West Automotive Group. We're big on that. Everybody going to school and keeping up on everything and knowing what's going on. I never want these kind of things to ever happen at my company, like with Fran, that we're sending her all over the place or having her come back like 12 times. It does happen sometimes. Cars don't always cooperate, but it should never happen from lack of communication between you and the client finding out what's going on with the vehicle. Yeah, just one of those things. And I was out there working in El Cajon this week, and just, you know, always ask the questions like, what what's happening with this car, what's going on with that car, how does, you know, and talking to clients and things that as far as they go. And it's all about questions, because everybody that comes in has a different concern with their car, trust me. So just and we have to get the information to get the car fixed right. So that's what it's about. But we always want to make sure that a client's taken care of and not be running around like that. So, but give us a call here, 1-888-344-1170. Us, me. I mean, I'm always saying us because Kevin's usually here with me, but he's not here today. But 1-888-344-1170. Give me a call here, and we'll talk to you about anything automotive related, like Harry and Fran, and I don't care what you got, but I'm happy to discuss it with you. And tell your friends about us here on 1170 and 96.1 FM. You know, we moved from one spot that we were in for quite a few years. If you folks listening to us over there previously for Auto Talk Radio, now we're over here and found a home to stay. And you guys reach out and tell your friends that we're over here listening. I keep running into folks all the time when I'm in different locations. They're like, oh, I used to listen to you on the air all the time on Saturday mornings. And I'm like, hey, we got a new home. So this is where we're at. So anyway, definitely check us out for sure. All right, folks, we're going to take our last break here real quick, but give us a call here, 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on the Answer San Diego and Cape Rays, 1170 and 96.1. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Brian Bowersock, and we are talking all things automotive for sure. Give us a call here, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, and I'm happy to talk to you about it. So that's what we're here talking about, is cars, trucks, vehicles, etc. I do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there. We do not stock nor sell any other automotive-related batteries at the West Automotive Group for one simple reason. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries. They also are the world number one technician-recommended battery. So Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Grab yourself one by going to westautomotivegroup.com. Make an appointment, get in, and we'll install an Interstate in your vehicle if you need a battery. One of the cool things that we do battery-wise also is when your vehicle comes in and we're doing a regular service on it, like oil change, that we always run the Interstate battery tester on it to know, let you know where the life of your battery is. In other words, you know, the tester actually shows, you know, good, marginal, should replace. And when you get to should replace, that doesn't mean your car's not going to start tomorrow, but it does mean that it's on the way to not starting sometime. And usually, most inconvenient time, I got to be honest with you. It's how batteries die. They just do. They die when you don't want them to. So Interstate Battery, a battery for every need. If you need, like I said, a battery for your vehicle, westautomotivegroup.com and make an appointment. If you need a battery for any other need, check them out at their storefronts, 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or La Mesa, 70th and University. I love Interstate Batteries, actually, and they are an amazing company. I love partnering with them. They just, their quality, their customer service, they're great peeps. So all good. All right, 1-888-344-1170. We're going to grab Curtis real quick. Good morning, Curtis.
Thank you, Brian.
How are you doing today, my friend?
Oh, mighty fine.
What kind of car are we talking about?
1997 Geo Metro.
Awesome.
One liter, three-cylinder, manual transaxle. It's about the transaxle.
Gotcha. What's going on with it?
About 5 years ago, I was changing the CV shaft, and I couldn't get the new one in because the C-clip came off the old shaft and stayed inside the tranny.
God, I hate when that happens.
I hated it too, but with the mirror and backwards V viewing through the mirror, I got the C-clip pried out of its groove, turned sideways, and then I went to grab it with the needle nose, and I did not grab it right. I pushed it into the tranny.
Oh, no.
And I didn't want to take tranny out and have someone disassemble it or anything.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, as soon as I drove it, it ground. It damaged the first and second gear synchros.
Oh, yeah.
And then first gear, I couldn't engage for about a year, and then it did. And on the oil change, I got more of the C-clip out. Go ahead. It's okay, because it's freaking hilarious how one mistake of not pulling the C-clip out but pushing it into the tranny has caused me a lot of problems. But I'll get to the point. But I continued driving it and changing the oil a lot because I knew I was grinding a little bit. But mm-hmm. I was shifting it carefully. But the first and second gear synchros were bad. Then I started to get clunk, like drive shaft clunk or a CV shaft.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't those. I replaced those. But I did an engine overhaul after that, and the thrust bearing and all the clearances were good. But the thrust bearing clearance has gotten a little excessive,
mm-hmm.
and my oil pressure dropped. So anyhow, but I was continuing to get a bang when I hit the gas hard and going into second gear. But it wasn't a CV shaft problem, so I'm just I talked to a transmission guy, and he said it could be the slider shaft. Something else is damaged inside the tranny, but
that's a transaxle, so it also could be in the final drive part of it, because that's where the axles go in, and that going through there, there could be a bunch of backlash in that now. So
okay,
yeah.
Well then. The banging noise could be down there the transmission is engaging with the CV shafts.
Correct. Yeah. So because the CV shafts go into what's called the final drive of that because it's a transaxle. So it's all unlike a rear wheel drive where you have a transmission and then you have a differential in the rear. So that clip had to go through all that when it fell down through there and went inside. You know. To the rest of the trans where it messed up, you said first and second gear, you're having synchro issues and that. So it could have created a wear on that, and now between the ring and the pinion drive off of it, there's just a bunch of play in it, and that could be where you're getting that bang.
Then I shouldn't jump. When I put this motor, I did an overhaul to the engine about shortly after I damaged the tranny with the C-clip going through it.
Gotcha.
And I know all the clearances and the thrust, the engine crankshaft in play was just about 3/1000.
Okay.
But it became, anyhow, I've got the engine apart and the crankshaft in play increased about 8/1000.
Oh.
And I think that's what caused my oil pressure to drop, and I had to go to thicker oil to quiet down the rods. But the rods and the mains, those clearances are good. Is there any way in your mind that that slamming is actually jamming against the crankshaft, put a little extra wear on that thrust bearing, or no?
No. So, a lot of times, I mean, when we see a thrust bearing, it could be a couple things. It could be it just wasn't getting enough lube properly.
No damage to the thrust on the crank. That surface looks squeaky nice.
Perfect. So, well, you caught it before because I've seen those where the thrust bearing wears into the side of the crankshaft and then also, you know, destroy the block too. I've seen them where they move enough, you can grab a hold of them and dunk, 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 move them back and forth. But depends. I mean, wear from that also can come from like riding somebody that rests their foot on the clutch pedal.
Yeah, I never do that.
Okay. Have you owned the car since new or?
Almost new.
Okay. Huh.
So I'm just trying to troubleshoot. If I'm trying to figure out if my transaxle is contributing to my, only 40,000 miles on the sloppy overhaul I did on the engine.
Yeah.
And that thrust bearing clearance shouldn't be there.
No.
It wasn't 8/1000 when I put it together. It was like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
No more than 4.
Huh.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. So a manual transmission, the transmission itself, the only way that it could put pressure on the crankshaft is if something like the pilot bearing was not installed all the way and it's pushing on the tip of the input shaft, but you would hear that. I mean, it would make noise. So, you know, the other time on automatics when we see them take out a thrust bearing, it's because we used to see this a lot on Chevy 400 transmissions. The converter would overheat and balloon, and when it ballooned, it would push on the back of the, and we saw it a lot on 454 motors, it would push on the back of the crankshaft continuously and would wear out the thrust bearing. So, but something has to be either pushing on it or internally it was having a lubrication concern or just the bit, some, I don't know. Could have been a bad thrust bearing too from the get, you know, put in and it just wore. So, you're saying now you have 8,000s worth of play in it now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, something
worn it out. Yeah. Yeah, you're going to have to take a good look at all that.
But I'm having the machine, the engine machined and the crank turned and the block board. But
there you go.
So I asked the guy to look. I didn't look that close at the back of the crankshaft where bushing goes.
Yeah, make sure it's not all something's pushing on the back of the crankshaft is what you'd be looking for.
But on the very nose of the transaxle, the input shaft is what goes into the back of the crank, right? Input shaft?
Correct, but it does not touch anything except for the where the pilot bearing is, rides on the nipple that sticks out on the front of that. So,
yeah, but I see a nice wear groove from like on the very tip of the input shaft that rides inside the back of the pilot bushing.
Yes, yeah, but the very tip of it shouldn't be touching inside the crankshaft. And if and that bushing, if installed properly, just all it does is supports the end of the input shaft there, the front of it. It doesn't push on it, so it shouldn't be in any contact where it has lateral on it at all. It's just there to support the front of the input shaft, if that makes sense.
Okay,
keep
so
it in line.
Get back to the banging noise. That you think that's just somehow the C-clip did damage and they're slopping between, would you call it the ring and pinion?
Yeah, basically the ring and pinion side there, which is a final drive because it's a transfer case. I'm not a transaxle.
My instincts say I could drive this tranny another 50 to 100,000 miles because I can shift it with poor synchros. You know, you just got to do it right. But
shoot, I'd go through the tranny while you got the engine out. I mean, you pulled the trans out also, right?
Okay, all right.
It's easy now. It's out.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
All righty. If we can help you out, let us know, Curtis. Hey, thanks for your call and have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Yeah, I'll fix it while the got the engine out. You're right.
Gotcha. Yeah, let us know how it comes together. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. So great questions when it comes to, that's a lot of thrust wear on that motor, but I don't know. Those are cool little cars. I don't know if anybody's know the 1 liter 3-cylinder. Like you could pick the motor up out of the car. You don't need a hoist or a cherry picker. You just pick it up. So easy to get out. Quick and easy to build, too. All right, let's go to Steve in Oceanside real quick. Steve's got a question. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, I've been looking at a Ford Fusion.
Uh-huh.
Actually, a 2010.
Okay.
And we rented a 2019. But do you see any inherent problems with the Fusion?
Not specifically, no. I mean,
the hybrid
we service a lot of them, but not. I mean, if you're asking me, is there anything that I would say you should stay away from that car? Not specifically, no.
Yeah, the hybrid is what I was looking at, and that's what we got. You know, 50 miles a gallon.
How many miles are on this 2010?
I'm just looking.
Oh, so you don't have a specific car. You were just looking at around that age of vehicle.
Yeah,
okay.
There's a big price difference between the 2010s, and it was car of the year. But the regenerative battery is what really helped on the gas mileage. So that's why I didn't know if there's any battery issues with them.
We've seen here and there. It depends on how the car was driven, to be honest with you. But, I mean, you're going to be looking at a car 10 years old. If it's been driven, though, it's going to have 100,000 miles on it. So
yes, most of them are 100-plus.
Correct, yeah. So thoughts on that, you know, the components do fail on them. We have replaced the hybrid batteries on them and other components, but don't see a high rate of failure. And when I say you really do want one that's been driven 100,000 miles, and the reason why is anything, if you get find a 10-year-old car that's a hybrid that's been driven only like 50,000 miles, so like 5,000 miles a year, you're going to find either that battery's already been replaced, because hybrids don't like to sit as much as overdriving a vehicle. The system has to operate, and the battery has to be charged regularly and stay. Otherwise, they die. And I'll tell you this. We have an agency that we do a ton of Priuses for, and they're like 10 years old. Some of them have like 10,000 miles on them. They put hybrid batteries in these things. I don't even know why they bought hybrids. I think they must have got some kind of tax write-off on it for sure. But they put hybrid batteries in these things because the batteries die on them. It's not the mileage. It's that they're not getting used properly. So that's one thing you do need to look at with a hybrid, as far as that goes. If the vehicle's not been used properly, then the battery can become an issue, yes. Or it's already been replaced, one of the two.
Roughly what are the batteries cost to replace?
Geez, they vary. So the scariest one I've seen is some of the Nissan hybrid batteries, where you like go get a car in, and it's like, oh, to replace the battery is $10,000. By the time you're done, so that car's not worth it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if so, you have to be very careful about it. On a Fusion, I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
I just remembered the Maxima one, because the Nissan one, because I was like, holy smokes, I'm not buying one of those cars, because I was like, that's crazy. So the car basically became not worth fixing, you know what I mean, very quickly. So
yes,
you don't want to go down that road. If you were to call one of my, just to get an idea, if you want to buy one of these, what a replacement battery would cost, give one of my Escondido location a call. They can look it up for you if you give them the year,
okay,
and stuff like that. Just tell them what you're, talk to my guys there. Just tell them what you're thinking of doing and purchasing this vehicle, and you just wanted to see about, you know, if you had to replace the hybrid battery, about what it would run. And we can do that for you, just so you have some knowledge if you want to.
Yeah, that's the base thing, is that, because that's what I've heard. Some of the Prius batteries, they're $5,000 to replace, but there is supposed to be a place in Miramar that replaces for $2,500, and that the red light comes on for me is that how does that work when you're replacing the, you know, half the price?
Yeah, so that's a great question. The Prius batteries aren't really, they're usually installed. Even a factory battery is like, yeah, $4,500, something like that. And those are the ones we used. Here's what happened. So when hybrids, and here's what that place is doing. They test, and then they swap out cells. If that battery's made up of numerous cells, obviously, and any bad cells they pull out, and they call it remanufacturing. Here's the problem. Every time we've used one of those batteries, it failed. And I mean, it fails in short order. Here's the biggest problem. It's a 3-hour job to get that battery in and out of that car. It's not like, you know, you need to think about this with a hybrid battery. If you've ever seen what they look like, they're big, they're heavy. It's not like replacing your normal car battery starter battery. Well, you're thinking like, you know, 20 minutes, I'm in and out here, you know, it's not that. So there's a ton of labor. And so when those things continue, and I've had people say, oh, well, they give a year warranty on them. Yeah. Do you actually want to pay $400 in labor every time you need? Pretty soon you're up to the cost of, if you just would have put a good battery in from, you know, an OEM style battery and gone from there. So we tend to only use hybrid batteries, OEM batteries, because the other ones, they have problems. Poor people reman them. And I hate to say that, I wish there was a better option, but, and don't get me wrong, the factory ones are remanned also, but they, when like Toyota, they reman them with replacing all the cells and all that. So there's only certain parts they use out of them versus these lower cost ones. They're just swapping out cells is all they're doing. So if that makes sense.
No, I truly understand. It's just, there are 1,000 little single cell batteries all put in line. So
yeah, and you know what? You bring up a good point, and the point to that is if something like that's such a low cost, you know, half the price, something's up, right? It's not the same. There's something different. You just can't get the same quality out of something like that. So too good to be true, I call it, as my father used to say to me. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. So
yep.
All good. Hopefully that helps you out, Steve. If you have any other questions, let me know.
Yeah. It's just, gas has gone crazy. And so we've got a couple trips. We've rented cars in the past to use on trips. And that's absolutely crazy. Now you can, five rentals, you can buy a car.
Yeah, almost. Although, I will tell you this, you do great research to figure out if you like a car. If you really think you want to buy a car, doing what you did and renting it and driving it for a couple days is a good practice versus just going and doing a drive somewhere before you buy a car, a 10-mile drive.
Well, that was the deal. If we go to Vegas, that's a good, you got hills, you got everything else, and we keep it, you rent it for a week, it's cheaper than for 3 days.
You got it.
So then you got it before, you got it after, and you could do that for like $150. And now it's like $500. So if you rent it, the 3 day cost was the same as a week cost, and it was right at $350.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's gone crazy.
But and everything is right now, my friend. That's for sure. Yeah. So
we need some more American made parts.
There you go. There you go. For sure.
That's it.
For sure.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Thanks for the call, Steve. You be safe out there. Have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
So great insight there. And that's one of my things, like in rental cars right now. So rental car companies, I don't know if you folks paying attention, one of the things that they did was they have gone ahead and got rid of a lot of their inventory during the COVID thing in 2020 because of what was going on. They didn't want a bunch of inventory of cars sitting around anyway, so they went ahead and got now getting their inventory back is a problem, and so car rentals can be a bit tough. Same reason, because like you go to a car lot, there's no cars there to purchase, right? So new car lot, as far as that goes. Used cars have gone way up in value. They're harder to get a hold of. Good. I mean, the whole market has kind of been affected, like with multiple other things. So it's one of those things. But just a great, as far as Steve was saying, it's just a great idea to, if you're thinking about buying a certain type of car, if you can rent it for a few days or a week or whatever and take it and drive it, gives you a good idea on that make, model, checking the blind spots. It's not the exact car you're buying, obviously, but it's the make and model and all the little features and how it drives. And that's going to be all kind of the same, so it's a great way to go. It's a good way to get it all figured out and go as far as that goes. So just great stuff. Anyway, wow, man, the hour flew by. I appreciate you guys all calling me. I love talking to you. I love your questions. I like to have everybody interactive in the whole program. It really works out well, so it's good stuff. And I, like I said, appreciate everybody joining in and being part of the show and great stuff. We were supposed to talk about the most common trouble codes, and we're going to quickly run out of time here. The show, that's what the show was about. But regardless, I'd almost rather talk about anything you guys want to talk about automotive related. And that's why, like I said, I appreciate your calls in. Instead of talking about this real quick, I'm going to talk about a problem that we're seeing a lot of. You guys have probably seen in the news, and some people are when it comes to catalytic converters being stolen. It's happening a lot, and it's still, I don't know, you guys are probably wherever you live, if you're part of that next door thing, I watch that next door on the post. People are still amazed that they're being stolen. There are ways to prevent your catalyst from being stolen. If you have a Prius, we have what's called a cat shield you can put on the car. Yours has never been stolen and you want to protect it, reach out to the westautomotivegroup.com, make an appointment or give us a call at either location and we can get you an estimate on that. There's, if you don't have a Prius, like one of my good friends, her vehicle is an SUV. They stole it off of there. We put what's called a cat cable on that thing. It'll prevent it from being stolen ever again. You can't cut it off with that thing on there. If they were to cut it off, it takes a lot of work, so it's just not going to happen. They will move on to the next one, and that's what it's all about. So reach out to the westautomotivegroup.com if you want to learn about protecting your catalyst. Some vehicles are almost impossible to steal them off where they're at. They're just not, and we can tell you that also. So it just depends. But they are out there doing it. I had a guy drive in yesterday to El Cajon. He's a Dodge Dakota, and he says, do you hear my exhaust leak? I said, yeah, let me guess. They stole your converter. Interesting story. They stole his converter, his neighbor's converter, all that. They drove down the street, got in a car wreck, and the sheriff's department caught him. And he had his converter with him. I said, well, we can weld that bad boy back. We'll put it back on for you. That's what we're going to do. So anyway, just to keep in mind without question. San Diego and everybody else out there, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. I appreciate you joining me here at Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 and 96.1 and K-Praise. You guys are what helped make the show. That's why I get up every Saturday morning to do it, because I enjoy doing it, because you're all listening, and that's great stuff. Kevin should be back next week. I hope he's enjoyed his vacation. He went to Ohio to visit my father and my brother and everybody there and all the fam, so hopefully he's enjoying, and we'll look forward to having him back next week. Everybody be safe. Be good. This has been Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego. Until next Saturday.
Answers to all your automotive questions. Tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.